Good morning. Thank you, PJ. When I grow up, I'm going to be like PJ. Let me pray. Father, thank you this morning for your grace and mercy, your faithfulness, your love toward us. You're such a loving God. You're so awesome, dear God. There is just no other God above you, and above you there is nobody else. Be with us today. Lead, guide, shield, protect, direct, orchestrate this message, because this is all about you, Lord God. And I thank you for John, my God. Just the way I just saw how he worshiped you. Just so awesome just to see the expression, to put all it's all in there, dear God. And that's what we are needing today. You're giving us all of you. Help us to give you back all of us. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service, dear God. It's the minimum of what we should do. Is to present it all back to you. So we just love you today. Be with us. Do what you only can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Introductions, as you mentioned, my name is Devon McDonald. I am married. She's not here. We have tryouts today in volleyball. My daughter, Rachel, she's trying out for club ball, AAU volleyball. She plays at Cathedral High School, who last night won the 4A volleyball championship. Yeah, it's a big deal because her sister played there. That's Rachel, and her sister Jasmine is a junior at Indiana University on full scholarship volleyball, and they came pretty close. And so her sister has one up on her right now, is that she won a championship. My wife, Sharisha, she's not here. We attend New Beginnings Fellowship Church, and about 30 minutes south of here or so. And I'm a leader in the ministry, an elder. And then I also work for this ministry called Sports World, and it's a non-for-profit organization based right here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we send out former athletes. The guy who started Doc Escherman over 38 years ago saw the impact that athletics and media, or the celebrities, had upon the youth, because they like celebrities. It is what it is. Right? So he saw it. So our mission is that we send former athletes to share personal life experiences with students, helping them to recognize the consequence of their choices while challenging them with a message of hope, H-O-P-E, helping other people to excel, a hope in Jesus Christ. And so we've been doing this, like I said, for 38 years. Within that time, we have spoken to well over 18 million. Last year, we spoke to about a quarter of a million. Because we do present the gospel, we don't preach and say, this is what you need to do in the school. We just share with them our stories. Because in the book of Revelation, it said they do overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In Romans, it say, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they are sent, right? How beautiful are the feet? And so we're going into the school system, and I believe the harvest is ripe. It's ready. There's 50 million public school children in America, 75 million total school children in America. Less than 15% of that 15% go to church. And out of that 15%, only about 4% are confessed Christians. And so I see it as a great opportunity. I think it's the number one harvest field in America that we get this opportunity. We don't got to do it. We get to do it. Great opportunity to go into the school. We had a guy in town last week. He lives here. He's a former Colt player, Daniel Muir, and he was actually in the schools and speaking this week. And we have another one coming in the springtime. So I got a few business cards with me, and if you want to connect. And Pastor Kirk, I want to thank you, man. Thank you for this opportunity. Eric, thank you so much for what you guys do. My man Matthew, the baller, the shot caller, the styler, the profiler. I want to thank you. A guy teaching me how to preach, he said, man, just make sure you get to your assignment. Don't get all the frills. Get to your assignment. I know you guys been talking about bravery. And if you know who's standing in front of you right now, you understand that I'm the essence of what this is all about today. I mean, God didn't make any mistake. You think Kurt is that smart to have me here today? 46 years ago, because today is my birthday, as he mentioned, God saw fit that man, me, that I would be here. But 10 years ago, 15 years ago, if you would have told me that I was going to be doing this, I said, man, you are crazy. Because, see, I was born in Jamaica. As a Jamaican, I was a stutterer. I stuttered so bad I couldn't say my first name. To say my name, I would say, Devon, stomp my feet to get my name out of my mouth. And I had dreams as a young boy, and the dreams I had is that one, I'm speaking in front of a lot of people. So I tell young people, the dreams that you're having are God-given. God gives you those dreams. And these dreams I had, and so today, not only do I work for a speaking ministry, I hit it up. So God does take the foolish thing to confound the wise. And it really is that amazing, because so for me to stand here today, I know it takes bravery, because I'm not a natural speaker. And see, because I was a guy who stuttered, people made fun of me. One thing we talk about in school is about bullying. I was made fun of. And so I didn't want to be around people. But one day God loosed my tongue. Because one day God saved me. I'm going to share with you at the very end. And so today, the scripture I'm going to utilize is coming out of Matthew 14. We're going to read from 22 to 32 so we can keep it in context. And it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent away the multitudes." 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone." 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary." And I heard you guys kind of got some examples last week of, or not example, but got some good teaching on that of what actually happened, so that's pretty awesome. 25, "And in the fourth watch of the night," which is about 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning, "Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples," this 26, "saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. 27, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' 28, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be you, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' 29, and he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt?' 32, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Amen. The title that I want to use today is Just Make a Move. Just make a move. It's amazing because when you look into this, into the gospel of Jesus Christ, he called some people, and these men that he called were his disciples. And him calling these people, when he called the first two, they were fishermen, and you know what? They were fishing. He called another two, and they were mending their nets. He called another one, and he was sitting on the receipt of custom, that was Matthew Levi. But you notice something about all of those men? They were doing something. They were doing something. And so when we look into our lives, what are we doing? And hopefully everybody is doing something. Because it's hard for God to call you if you're not doing anything. And Jesus is a perfect model of how he calls people. Here he shows he called people that are doing something. So he called these men. He called them. And so I believe he's calling us too. I believe he's calling each and every one of us to do something. And whatever level you're at, he's calling you to another level. Every single one of us. God is calling us. And as he's calling us, there's some conditions to why we answer or we don't answer, which I believe these scriptures helps us. The beautiful thing about the scripture, it's here to help us. Help us so that we can be more effective for God, so we can be used of God to finish Jesus' work. And when you read in the book of John, it says, "For this reason was the Son of God manifested." Why? "That he might destroy all the works of the devil." So when Jesus left, he left that work. And what's the work we're supposed to be doing? Destroy all the works of the devil. And when the first work I think we have to that we have to work with is the work within us. Because I believe one of the first hindrance, or one of the things that hinders us is fear. Is fear. People who are fearless make a lot of money. Come on now. Who's usually popular in the school? The guy who is fearless. Seems fearless, right? Seems like, man, there's nothing that bothers them. Those people are put up there on a high and highly esteemed. So I believe God wants to help us today and say, where does this fear come from? If you've been in church any length of time, you know the fear comes from the devil. In the book of Timothy, the word says that I've not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. So if I've not given you the spirit of fear, this is God talking, then where would it come from? Of course, the devil. And that's our, the foe, the enemy. So fear comes from the enemy. And so when God is talking to you about doing something, guarantee your fear has come. There's two great motivators in this world. The two greatest motivators in the world is love and fear. Because see, there's a day when I was in love with some girls when I was in high school. And there's not too much I wouldn't do. It motivates you. But then I think that's the greatest one, because God is love. The next motivator, I believe, is fear. It is fear. And so when we look into this text, real quick, we see these disciples in verse 26. And it says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, "It's a spirit." So fear comes from, I believe, the enemy, obviously. The Word of God says that. But then I believe fear can also come from our family. Because here it is. They saw a spirit, and they are afraid of the spirit. Now, I'm from Jamaica, and in Jamaica, we got the occult. We call it Obia. In America, you might call it voodoo. So we believe in ghosts. Now, my granny said about ghosts, but I just knew I was supposed to be afraid of them. I don't know what they did to you, though. I was never told that. I was just told you need to be afraid of ghosts. But I'm wondering if the same thing happened to these disciples. Because they saw a ghost coming and now they're afraid. But isn't it amazing in life, though? And speaking about what God wants you to step out. Maybe because they've seen something they've never seen before. And you see, God will ask you to do some things you've never done before. I thought about it as I was praying this morning and finishing up studying on this. I started thinking, wait a minute. Why did Jesus chose this time to walk on the water? Why not some other times? Because he wanted to show them a new thing. And so your family can affect you. Your family. I'm not a movie buff. I still need to see the movie Woodlawn. I heard it's great. I have the COO of the company sent me a link, and I still haven't watched it. Even before the movie came out, I could have watched a preview. I still don't watch it. I'm not a movie guy. The movies I have watched are children movies. Why? Because I have children. Because I want to spend time with my children. So one of my favorite movies is Nemo. Next to Ratatouille. But you know the movie Nemo, right? I mean, in the beginning, mom and dad got together, and you know what happened. And they laid some eggs, and Barracuda came and ate up all the eggs, and one egg left. The egg eventually hatched, and when it hatches, he had one good fin and another, one that just didn't work so well. And he named him Nemo. And eventually Nemo started going to school. But his dad was very protective. Very protective, right? I mean, wouldn't let him go too far and are you okay? And because he lost so much that now he's fearful of losing this one, the only thing that he has left, right? And so he's very fearful. And so he sent him to school. And so one day, don't go to the reef. Don't go too far. Don't touch boats. I mean, don't touch all these things. And so sure enough, he's hanging out with the wrong crowd because they start to go out in some places and that they shouldn't have been going. And when the dad got a hold of it, man, he swam there and he saw his son way out there where he told him not to be. And so his son is way out there. He's like, get back here, young man. And he said, mm-mm. And he kept going farther. Now, there's a boat up there. And he kept flying. He said, don't you touch that boat. And he kept going. And he put out his little fin. He said, young man, I'm telling you, do not touch. And he touched it. And the little another fish, little baby fish, turned to the other one and said, he touched the butt. If you know the rest of the story, he was swooped up because they had a doctor there who was looking for some rare fish, coral fish, and he picked them up. That's one part of the story. But the point I'm making is his dad was putting the fear that he had upon his son. And guys and ladies, I want to tell you that you're limiting your children sometimes. You might have failed, but that don't mean they're going to fail. Don't limit your children. And so I believe family. The next thing I believe is friends. Social media today has changed the world. Today, information flies by in volumes like never before. So bullying is taking on a whole bigger gamut than ever before. And so some of you guys are being bullied on your social media site. So I understand the fear can come from there also. But I love it because Jesus gives us a perfect paradigm how to deal with fear. Because we all have to deal with it. I believe in life is not what happens to us, it's how we respond to what's happening to us, right? So this is how Jesus dealt with the fear, right? In verse 27, where Jesus answered and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Wow, I love it. Because he said, be. John Maxwell, the leadership guy in a book, I think 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, here's what he said. We need to stop being human, doing, and become human, being. Be of good cheer. Now, I love your pastor. I believe he's one of the greatest pastors in the city of Indianapolis. Wow. I just said something real big, y'all. Joy Box. Yeah. Without that man, there's no Joy Box. And one thing I love about him is that he's a man of preparation. You can be of good cheer if you prepare yourself. See, when you prepare yourself in Christ, when you spend time with him, you know what? It doesn't matter what comes your way. Because you have another perspective. You don't look at it the same way. You don't look at problems as problems, you see them as possibility. You don't see obstacles as obstacles, you see them as opportunity. There's a difference. See, now you can be of good cheer, right? So, and so the next thing he said, it is I. I love it, because here's how I interpret that. Be of a God consciousness. I mean, when you're at work, do you put God in your box until you get off of work? Are you conscious of God at work? How about at school? How about doing the football game, the basketball game, the tennis, the volleyball game? I mean, how about when you're hanging with your friends? Are you of a God consciousness? And the next one, he says, do not be not afraid. Basically, what I see is be courageous. Be courageous. It's going to take courage. When I left from Jamaica, came to America, I never seen a game of football before. I saw one guy run across the field. Another one came, boom, I hit him. I said, yeah, man. I want to play that game. So I went after football. Played Little League football. Went to high school. When I went to high school, went to two high schools. First high school, Eastside High School in Paterson, New Jersey. A guy was fired, the head football coach. Now, if you watch the Carolina Panthers, who's a good team right now, undefeated, I believe, the guy that won the best on the team, Greg Olsen. I remember Greg was just a little baby. Well, his daddy is my coach, Chris Olsen. And they fired him because they accused him of racism. School is mostly black people. But it was definitely political. I'm glad I didn't know too much. I just knew just enough to be dangerous. I'm from Jamaica. I'm not from the area. But they got this guy fired, Chris Olsen. They hired another guy to replace him. And the guy to replace him with each football player. And the guy said, I want to, my Thursday afternoon, 2:30, I walked in his office. I sat down. The guy asked me a question. Devon, what is your goal for the future? I said, Coach, I'm going to go to Division I college. I'm going to go to the NFL, make a lot of money. I'll never forget what he said. He said, you'll never do it. So I speak across the country because this, some of you guys have been told that. Maybe by your family, maybe by your friends. Definitely by the devil, because he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus in John 10:10 said, I've come that they might have life and have that more abundantly. So at that point in my life, I had a choice to make. Sports World, we have a great slogan. In life, you're not born a winner, you're not born a loser, but you're born a chooser. It's a choice that you make. Choice who you're going to believe. And so I made a decision and a choice to leave from Eastside High School. Went to the rival school. Junior year, we had the worst record in the state of New Jersey, 0-8-1. Our parents stopped coming to our games. But going to my senior, I had a choice to make. And we worked hard, and we won the state championship. Went from being one of the worst team to one of the best on the first. It took courage. They didn't like me where I was coming from. Because my twin brother stayed. I have a twin brother. Matter of fact, he finished up with the Denver Broncos. So yesterday, he went to Pitt. So we beat him yesterday. Notre Dame beat Pitt. So I'm hoping today we can just clean sweep him. You know what I mean? But being courageous, having the courage. So Jesus dealt with the fear. And for us to just make this move that God is wanting us to make, and you know your move, because we're going to deal with that next. Because do you know the move you're supposed to make? Maybe you don't know. Maybe that's why you're fearful. Peter, I believe, helps us. Because when we look at this, right, in verse 28, he says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee, unto the water. So here's what I see. Peter knew who to ask. And say, are you asking God? I don't care how young you are. Really, the younger you are, the more you should want to find out. So you won't spend the whole of your life wasting it. Can anybody say amen, old people? Come on now. Wasting your life. So the quicker you know, not that you won't struggle. Struggles are there to develop you. But you will know. And a lot of the frustration, that's why the drugs is so big, because people are confused. If I don't know, I just get high. And everything feels so good. Until I come down off my high and it's worse. Because it doesn't solve your problem. It just complicates it. It does three things. Take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. And in the end, that bad choice you make will cost you more than you're willing to pay. So Peter knew who to ask. Ask God. This Christmas is coming up. Your children are going to ask you for something. And if they're like mine, they're not going to stop till they get a yes. Right, Matthew? Don't answer that. He's not going to stop. They're not going to stop. Because why? They have an expectation. Why don't we have an expectation left for our life, for our God-given purpose? God created you with purpose. It's not to work at that school or do it. He created you with purpose. And if that's where he wants to use it to minister to, find out. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I have absolutely no doubt about it. None. Whatever doubt I had, it's been dismissed. Who the Son set free is free indeed. He shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know you're asking a question right now. Can I tell you a question you're asking? You're asking, why did I come and put my hand on his shoulder? Why did I come do that to you? Because God told me to come touch him. It's called obedience. I don't know why God wanted me to touch him. I was up in Cedar Rapids a couple weeks ago, speaking. Troubled youth. Been going through a lot. Kicked out of their house, some of them. I just started going around. Started touching. And when I touched a second person, I almost was about to cry. I felt their pain. I never had that before. I touched a third guy. You know what? He started to cry. That's how important it is for you to know what you're supposed to be doing. Because when you know it, you can go full force, man. See, I think I was a good linebacker because I knew what I was supposed to be doing. Linebacker. I knew I was supposed to kill a quarterback. It's clear. It's either I did it or I didn't do it. Peter knew what he wanted. And Peter knew who he wanted to be with. And how you know what you're desiring is of God is that first you want to be with God in it. That's how you know. If what you're desiring is pulling you away from God, and see, Peter, he's an awesome man. And I believe Peter had it for us. He's a great example. Making this move with God is risky, very risky. High risk, high reward. Unfortunately, as people, this is how we like to do it. We like low risk, high reward. Yeah, that's how we are. We want little investment, we want a big return. But that's not how it works. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You'll present your bodies a living sacrifice. Y'all know what sacrifice means, right? That means give it up. Not some up, all of it up. You have to be willing to become uncomfortable. And we see what Peter did. He stepped out of the boat. When he stepped out of the boat, I'm a visual guy, so I start to imagine, what was that first step like? Because it wasn't smooth waters. That's why I love how God just did this. It wasn't smooth waters. It was rocky. But he started to walk, and it wasn't until after a while he began to sink. That's what happened to me. I was in the NFL. Finally, my goal came true. I'm an NFL football player. Man, you'd be happy. Man, you have no problem, Matthew. That's what they told me, man. Yeah, right here, number 57. Starting outside linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. Graduate of Notre Dame. Last game of the year, last game of my career, MVP of the Cotton Bowl. Man, great feeling. Okay, now I'm going to be happy. I have no more problems. Wrong. It's worse. I thought if I drink more, smoke more, hang out more, do all that, it's not working, man. So because I was doing those things, now it's causing me not to perform the way I should. So after 3 years, the Colts cut me, they fired me, they let me go. I played with Jim Harbaugh, who's now coaching for Michigan. I played with Marshall Faulk, who's on the NFL Network. I played with Tony Siragusa, who works at Fox News. I played with some awesome players. In 1997, we were one play away from the Super Bowl, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's not S-T-E-E-L-E-R-S, it's S-T-E-A-L-E-R-S. Because they stole that game. Would have been in the Super Bowl. I got cut from a team after that year, 1995. I went out to Arizona, and I'm smoking, drinking like it's going out of style. Basically, I call it slow suicide. I was trying to hide away from this world. But God got a hold of me one day. I'm flying home on an airplane. I'm just disgusted, man. Alcohol is the number one killer of teenagers today. In certain instances, alcohol-related deaths. I'm contemplating the end of my life. Each day in America, 5 young people are successful with suicide. 5 are successful. How many were unsuccessful? When Robin Williams killed himself, ouch, I know that feeling. So I'm on the airplane, having these thoughts in my mind. Well, I got to the airport in Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. Got in my SUV, I'm driving home. A voice in my head said, Devon McDonald, run your vehicle over the hill, just keep straight. And a voice said, nah, keep going. And when I arrived at my apartment, I opened the front door, I threw my luggage on the ground, I just walked in here, I just was disgusted. I grew up in a Christian home. And I also met a lot of Christian people in my life. One was Aeneas Williams. He finally got into the Hall of Fame. I've been sharing his story across the world, saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. Last August 2nd, he was in the Hall of Fame. Well, I also played with a guy right here at the Colts named Stephen Grant. His nickname was Preacher Man. I call him Naked Preacher Man because he walk around the locker room naked trying to talk to me. And I'm like, dude, I don't get down like that, all right? But his witness was unbelievable. I'm talking persecution. One of the hardest things to do is to be a Christian in the NFL. Trust me. Whenever you hear a Christian in the NFL, like Tim Tebow, that's very hard because the culture is anti-Christ supercharged. Because you got young boys with a lot of money. The other day I saw the Redskin party with $21,000 the rookie had to pay. Mine, I manicure my, because all rookies got to take out the veterans in your position, and I got away with about $4,000. It could have been uglier. When we arrived at the airport in Phoenix, having these thoughts, came to this point in my life where I wanted to end it. So I think about Stephen Grant. And when I thought about him, the life that he lived, I'm a face in Arizona. I cried out to God, and God showed me me. He showed me me. I tried to run away from me, but he showed me me. Because the problem with our relationship was me. It was a sin that I brushed it aside and compared myself to somebody that's worse than me. But that day, God said, no, Devon, this is you. The lies that you tell, it's against me. You don't sin against man. You sin against me. So I got with Aeneas the next day, and I said, Aeneas, man, I want to get baptized. He said, you all right? I said, yeah, man, God has done a work in my life. Guys, I wept that night like I never wept before. And I believe weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And when I got up the next morning, I got with Aeneas, went over to his house. I shared with this earlier. I was like, the pastor said he can baptize me, but not at the church. He can do it at Aeneas' house. That time, I didn't care where I was baptized. Long I was baptized because I knew what it signified. Let the old man go down and new man comes up. that my confession is what saved me. My belief in my heart is what saved me. And so I got baptized over his house, confessed Romans 10 and 9, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For with the heart men believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And there began my walk with Christ. There began my walk with Christ. Well, just like Peter, I was walking. I can't tell you, man. Every other day, maybe every week, maybe every month, I'm saying, God, help me. I believe that's the life of a believer. The life of a believer is that when you fall, you know who to turn to. That's the only difference, is that number one, we're saved from hell. That's the first thing. And then the next thing is we know who to turn to. As people, we want to be comfortable. The life of a believer is really uncomfortable so that the comforter can bring you comfort. Because why would I give you comfort if you're comfortable? Duh. That don't make sense. Why would you give food to a person who just ate dinner? Duh. That doesn't make sense, Matthew. It's when you become uncomfortable, then now the comforter comes. So here's Peter about to drown, and he said, Lord, save me. Boom, here he comes. And that is how it is for our lives. God wants you to step out. Just make a move. You know what that move is? For some of you, don't wait till January 1, your New Year's resolution. Make the move now. The world says, show me a good plan, and then I'll do it. Faith says, make a move, and I'll show you. The more you step, the more you see. The more you move, the more you see. That's the life of a believer. So pastor is challenging you guys about making steps, making moves. Make the move. I'm a part of the new member team at church, right? So when new members come in, here's what I tell them. Get involved with something. If you're getting involved with something, you will know. Again, God doesn't call lazy people. He calls people that are doing something. So if you get into it, you say, I want to sing in the choir. And you're singing in the choir. And you just can't hold that note. You're bad. You know what? How about try an usher? You can sing as an usher. Sing to yourself. But it's okay. But get involved. Make a move. Not doing nothing is not an option. Get involved. Do something. Father, thank you for this awesome time today. I had fun doing it. I had fun preparing it. Thank you. Thank you for this great pastor. Thank you for Eric and John and PJ and my brother from another mother in the booth from Whale. Thank you for what you're doing, dear God. Would you manifest your glory in this place? Would you cause people to move? Just make a move and watch you work things out. That you have already worked it out. We thank you and bless you in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you.
Hey, let's thank Devon this morning. Thank you, brother.
Yes.
Hey, have a seat here for a moment. We're gonna do a little Q&A because it's not too often we get to it. Now I get to ask the questions, not you. But it's not too often we get to hear somebody that's played on the stage, the world stage you've played on, and to talk about bravery.
Mm-hmm.
Because your life is the epitome of bravery. I think you even, I don't know if it was when we were talking individually or earlier today, you said, you were like the face of bravery. You're talking about some of the most, brave steps you've taken. What would be that step? If you had to sum it down to one step, what's the bravest thing you've done?
To take that step for a relationship with Jesus Christ was by far the single most bravest step. I've ran headfirst into a mass of meat in the NFL. A mass of meat, and those meat can move too, But it pales in comparison to making that choice to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, But by far, that's the single most bravest thing I say I've ever done. And now it's proven to be the most significant and important thing ever I've ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm. And you talked a little bit about your baptism. Why was that so important to you?
Well, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and mom and dad preached that. You know, it's amazing because I came home one day, right, and I went to the bathroom, and my daddy's clothes was wet. And I picked them up, and I held them. And I said, why would he have wet clothes? He doesn't like to swim. I don't think he can swim. He got baptized. And it's almost like, no, it's like when Saul held the clothes of those who martyred Stephen, it did something to him. That in the day of, on the road to Damascus, the seed was planted the day he picked up those clothes. When he saw a man being martyred, and instead of cussing out the people, he looked up to heaven and saw Jesus giving him a standing ovation. Because Jesus sat down when he went up to heaven, but the book said he saw him standing up and said, forgive them. It did something. So the day when I held my daddy's clothes, I believe it did something to me. So baptism for me was very important. And like I said, because I understand what salvation is, that didn't save me. This ring I have is that I'm married to a fine woman, y'all. Guess what? I'm still married to her even though I took it off. You know what I'm saying? Because it's an inward decision. It's an outward expression of an inward decision. That's what baptism is.
Yeah. And the reason I asked that, you know, we had a little discussion on this previous was, you know, for some of us in this brave journey, this may be the very next step. You know, if you've come to Christ 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we see that all the time. Or maybe just in the last few weeks, you've made your way to make a decision to receive Christ. Really, your very next step is baptism. There's something powerful that takes place when you outwardly express, and of course, you're going to have the chance to do that next weekend. Last question, and then we'll wrap up. What's wrong with the Colts?
Okay, you got 4 minutes and 36 seconds. I might need 4 hours and 30-something minutes, you know? There's a lot there. I believe it's leadership. I believe everything, you know, like John Maxwell said, it rise and fall on leadership. So you look at any entity, I mean, look at our bodies. It's our head, you know. Adultery, they say it begins in the head before it goes to the bed. It's all about leadership. So I know Pagano and Grigson and Ursay, it's been a lot of turmoil, and I think it just, when the parents are messy, so are the children. And you have some great players. I mean, you got some great parts. I've been touting the world. Colts are going to win the Super Bowl. And now I haven't said nothing in a while about that, you know what I mean? but I have a prediction. I believe the Colts miraculously is going to win today. I believe Andrew Luck is probably one of the greatest warriors of the game. And the only reason he's been playing so bad because he's hurt. I wish he'd be more vocal to say, listen, I need to rest these games, you know, because there's a difference between pain and injury. Pain, you can play with. Injury, you cannot, if it's hurting the team, then you're no longer an asset. You're a liability now, you know what I mean? And that's what he has been. He's been hurting the team. I would have played Hasselbeck, by the way, if it was me. But I believe today he's positioned right now to make a monumental leap, a miraculous leap. And I believe the Broncos are going to underestimate them, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think... Hopefully, Gore and the new offensive coordinator is a freshness. How bad can we can't get no worse? I don't think. You know, so one way to go is up. You know.
Yeah, which ties into our brave journey in the sense that we've been through storms, and yet you know there comes that moment where you got to take the leap. You got to make the move. Yep. Hey, let's hear it for Devon. Thank you for being with us, brother. It's great to have you with us today. And happy birthday, by the way, the second time. Hey, before we get out of here, on the back of your connection cards are some next steps, and these are really important to us. As Devon said, today's Make the Move Sunday. You know, whatever your heading is, make the move. There's a couple ways we continue to do that, and one of them is they've been the steps for the last number of weeks as we've been in this journey. Is number one, get in the app this week. Make sure you're doing week 5 of the material in the app. This is the stuff that helps us get the traction to continue to pursue our heading, that thing that God is calling us after. And what's amazing about this is, you know, your move may not be the full culmination of what your step is. It might just be the next step that takes you to the next phase of whatever it is God's calling you after. Some of our headings are audacious, they're big. But don't let the audacious nature of it, you know, cause us to just be paralyzed and stand still. Number two, make sure you're in your group this week. There's some powerful things. I tell you what, powerful things happen in groups. You cannot be brave by yourself. All right, that only and always happens in community. And so make sure you get in your group this week. It's a party week. We're celebrating, but we're also going to be wrapping up in the groups what God continues to do. And the next week, third step is just make sure you're here next weekend. It's going to be a powerful weekend. It's going to be a baptism weekend. As I said, for some of you, this might be your next step. You may have been following God or chosen to receive God for quite some time. You're not sure why you're not experiencing the power and the fullness. Well, maybe it's being obedient to take that very next step Jesus calls you to, which is to express through water baptism, hey, I'm connected to Jesus. We're going to give an open invitation next weekend. You can mark that on your card if you want to declare it. You can also attend Explore Crosspoint. Maybe that's your next step today. You're just here for the first time, second time, fifth time, want to hear more about what we're about. As we go, we're going to kind of declare something with our words. We're going to put our words to a prayer, to music. So go ahead and stand with me, and we're going to sing this song with PJ and the band, Brave.